We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We got to head out to the Dial Pad guest line.
Stiney, ask Ian Williams if Anthony Davis is a superstar. Ian watches hoops.
Hold on one sec, Ian. Because he's brought to you by the Dial Pad guest line, and that helps you make smarter calls, connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. You. Go ahead.
Ian, my man.
What's good, fellas?
What's good? Come on. This is the participation trophy era. I get all that. But is Anthony Davis a superstar?
Bro, he has to. What are you talking about? I can't believe you just asked that question.
What? Why is he a superstar?
Why is he a superstar? One, did you see the haul that the New Orleans Pelicans got for him? Like, you don't just transfer all those types of picks and players just for, like, some regular type of player. And then what has he done since he was in college to now in the pro level, you know, dominating the game? Obviously, when he's healthy, he's one of the best because he's so tall. He can do multiple things, you know, outside of the just dunking the ball or anything.
I got a follow up.
I agree. Is the haul that the Pelicans got, is it due to David Griffin just duping the L.A. Lakers and taking advantage of Rob Pelinka's inexperience as a GM?
I don't know about that, but just like if you have a chance to get Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, obviously they're young players and they haven't, you know, probably at the time when they were the Lakers, you know, proven themselves. But like you've seen what Brandon Ingram can do, and then Lonzo, he's still coming to his own. I feel like they got a good core, especially with Zion. But like David finesse, I feel like he did finesse and get like a lot. In return.
Let me ask you this, Ian. How many players in the NBA are superstars? Would you qualify as superstars, approximately?
You would probably have to say just like the MVP of their team. Like, literally, like without that guy, they're a superstar. Like, every team.
So a dozen or so? More than a dozen?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then we don't have an argument. My thing is I only think there's five or six and the rest are stars. So it's semantics. So, you know what I'm saying? Hey, Ian, I want to ask you about Richard Sherman playing tomorrow against the Rams.
Huge.
What's huge about it, and where do you come down on, you know, it's a hamstring, and those tend to, you know, you want to give those extra rest. Where do you come down on that?
Well, Sherm's a veteran. He's been through injuries, so I'm sure he's pulled his hamstring multiple times before. He's a vet. He knows when to pull off. He knows when to, you know, all right, I need to sit out a couple games. Okay, all right, I'm ready. So he started practicing. He even felt like he probably could have finished the game. But he was just trying to be smart, looking forward to so that he doesn't go out there and tweak it even more. And now he's missing, you know, the Rams game and Seattle. Like, at least he was able to sit out, know himself, and be able to rehab this week and get better so he can be up there. Because they're going to need him, obviously, man, tomorrow. They're going to need him out there. Mosley, he did a great job. And Witherspoon, they did what they could do, but you have to have a guy like Sherman out there when you're trying to, you know, clinch first round and get that bye. You know, you need these type of guys. This is why you brought in a Sherman, for these types of moments.
Ian, that's what I want to talk about. We were talking about the ramifications. Does Shanahan, you played the game, does he talk to the players about where they're at and what could be, what would be, or is that kind of something you just kind of do by yourself?
What you mean? Like how Kyle Shanahan, like, he'll...
No, let's just say the Niners lose to the Rams, and then you know what's at stake the next game. Does Kyle preach that, or do you guys kind of know that on your own?
Oh, yeah. Every time you have, so the next day, when you come in for your team meetings, either it be on Monday or Wednesday, like, you already know the purpose of the week or what you're trying to accomplish. With Harbaugh, you know what I'm saying? He would have everything in four-game increments of what we're trying to accomplish. So once we got to the month of December and we had our four games, this is what we're trying to do, fellas. This is realistically what we can get. We need to go 3-1, at least 3-1. And if we do that, we can get this first round bye and we can get, you know, home field advantage so that everything has to come through us. You know, we don't mind having to go to on the road, having to beat someone in either Philly or Minnesota or Dallas or something like that. But at the end of the day, you want to give these fans who've been amazing throughout this whole year and throughout the struggles and up and down of this whole decade a chance to be able to come to Levi's Stadium to be able to experience playoff football again.
And I'm worried about this defensive line because of the depth issue here. We see Bosa played a lot of snaps, Buckner, Armstead as well, and all the injuries on defense. Hell, even on the offensive line, they're struggling a little bit here. What can a defense do or a defensive line do? Because I know when you're with Vic Fangio and company, the D-line wasn't as deep as this D-line this season. What are you seeing from the D-line now? Do you see them in towards the end of games maybe getting a bit more fatigued because of the lack of depth?
I feel like a few games it started to happen that way. Obviously, with the injuries, and you got to understand these guys were, you know, they were living really well with the offense being able to run the ball. And if you look at the clock possession of, you know, the early portion of the season, the 49ers were dominating that. They were 35 plus almost 40 minutes, you know, a game controlling the ball in the game. And as a defense, when you're sitting down on the bench, being able to go through adjustments and be able to drink some water and, you know, breathe some oxygen and stuff like that, it's so much better. So you can go out there and kind of have those, you know, when it's 20 plays, you can turn up for those 20 plays so that now you're not out there 60 to 70 plays and not having to conserve energy. But obviously, you know, I feel like they're starting to get used to being out there a little bit more. I feel like they'll hit their stride. Eventually, it's not like they had a bad game against New Orleans. Drew Brees is getting the ball out of there really quick. So it's kind of nullifying the D-line and the pass rush. And then last week, they were getting to Matt Ryan, you know what I'm saying? It was just a few times. It was a couple blown coverages on the back end that kind of hurt the defense. And, you know, I feel like Bosa, Armstead, and DeForest still had a really good game. Even Sheldon got a sack, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I feel like they're starting to progress more to be more in shape. Because, you know, early in the season, they weren't playing a lot, but it takes time to get in shape and realize what you can do outside of just, you know, playing 35 to 40 snaps a game.
Ian, who's the scariest team in the NFC if you're the 49ers?
The scariest team, I would have to say Seattle. I mean, you have to understand what they're doing up there. And then if all roads end up leading through Seattle, I've played up there. We've lost games up there. We've had a long streak until a couple of years ago when we lost up there because it's Seattle. The fans are grimy. The stadium's grimy. The weather's grimy. Like, everything about Seattle is grimy. And it's hard to win playoff atmosphere-type games up there. So that team, and then Russell Wilson, he's an MVP caliber guy. I think it's going to go to Lamar Jackson. But just having him up there and then Jadeveon Clowney, when you have to go silent count and your tackles don't know, you know, when the ball is going to get snapped. They're looking at the ball while Jadeveon Clowney's literally foaming at the mouth to get to Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, these tackles can't even hear when he's saying HUD or trying to make some checks like that. So everything about Seattle is what scares me about them.
And when you talk about Robert Saleh, he's a high commodity. His name's being linked with possible head coaching jobs coming up here this offseason. And I got to go back to the Atlanta game. They didn't double Julio, nor did they blitz.
They did double him.
When?
They doubled him a few times.
And why didn't it work?
One of the times where Julio ran, he was like a deep over route. And Akello, he was on the slot. Akello was all over him, and Akello played outside coverage because on the other side they were trying to show a cover two defense, and Jimmy Ward was on the left side of the defense, and he was actually helping Akello and was going to double him late, but he flowed over a little bit too high. Akello obviously gave up that inside route. So at the end of the day, you know, they didn't work on that bracket together, and that's where that
wow.
So even on the touchdown, they were trying to run the same thing. Atlanta had ran the same thing last week against Carolina. I think it was Carolina. Whatever team they played last week, they had ran
a
route combination against that team, and they ran the same thing on the touchdown to Julio Jones. That's why he was wide open on that touchdown. They were trying to bracket him with Marcel Harris and Emmanuel Mosley. But obviously, they didn't communicate, and then, you know, you got a wide-open receiver, and then you have Jimmy Ward trying to, you know, make up for someone else's mistake. So that's pretty much what happened. Austin Hooper was, like, kind of pushing off on his route. If you watch that last play, he's kind of pushing Fred Warner into, like, Marcel. So Marcel doesn't get over top. That's why he's wide open like that. So they tried to double him. It's just, you know, guys didn't, you know, obviously communicate, and then they didn't do their jobs on the play. So that's what happened, you know what I'm saying? So
yep.
It's more of not the calls. It was more of, you know, just communication and them beating us. But all that can be corrected. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that was corrected on Monday when they came in for film study. And, hey, guys, this is what we tried to do to Julio Jones.
That's good stuff.
He messed up, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I was trying to help you guys, you know, and that's kind of what it was. He was trying to double, believe it.
And looking at the offense, because I know you watch both sides of the football, especially the trenches here. After the Niners played that three-game gauntlet, Green Bay, Baltimore, New Orleans, did the offense look a bit sluggish and a little tired, like they didn't have that energy because the receivers, in my opinion, failed to really gain separation from Atlanta's DBs outside of George Kittle? And the offensive line struggled. What did you see from the offense last week against Atlanta?
Well, they played against, obviously, any team in the NFL, they get paid too, Bonte. Like, they make good money. They're NFL professionals, too. They're one of the best in the world, too. So when you have a guy like Vic Beasley out there, you know, on the first third down when Joe, you know, is trying to, you know, I don't know if it was Joe jumping out because he kind of beat him on the under move. I don't know if the line protection was supposed to slide to Joe. I don't know. But he got beat under, and that was kind of one of the first sacks of the game. So, you know, obviously, you know, you had some pressure. You know, McGlinchey got pushed back a couple times, and, you know, offensive lineman person, you know, got pushed back a couple times into Jimmy's lap. And there's a few times that he actually had, you know, Jimmy's really good about going through his reads, you know, pretty fast to be able to get to that backside read. To be able to deliver the ball, but to be able to get to that backside read, you need time. And the offensive line at times and on second and third downs in critical junctures of the game, they didn't give him enough time to go through his reads and get to that backside route that they like to throw. They like to throw a lot of big routes on the backside away from whatever his first and second read is to, you know, let the defense flow. So, you know, it's more of just a collective unit. They just need to figure out, you know, how to get him outside of the pocket or really shore up the offensive line, just throw some different protections. They're going to need to do that against Aaron Donald this week. You can't just line up and just, oh, we're going to slide the protection this way and just tell them everything that you're going to do. You're going to have to throw some different protections at him. So, you know, hopefully they figured it out and they, you know, scheme some things up this week because, you know, Saturday's a really big game.
Ian, 49ers a lock tomorrow, aren't they?
What do you mean?
A lock to win. They're going to win tomorrow.
They better be. They need to win. I know they clinched. I know that that's a huge weight off the shoulders. This franchise has been through so much these past couple of years. It's just to finally clinch. I know you've done that, but now you got to still be hungry. Like, it's time to eat a little bit more and get that first round bye. So you have to come out here with a purpose tomorrow because best believe you. Even though the Rams, they're kind of out of it, kind of looking in, and they need some things to happen. We've been at that point in the season where we needed some things to happen, and we just needed to go out there and win. And we were going to give the team that we were about to play our best shot. And, you know, don't forget the first series of the Rams game down in L.A. Remember, they ran the ball down their throats, man. 10 times down their throats now. So it's possible. Even though they came out, they made some adjustments for that second drive and for the rest of the game. That team knows they can do what they need to do on the ground and through the air and defensively with Aaron Donald. And don't let him get hot. And then don't remember, 2 days after that game, because Jimmy G had like 230, 250 on him on the air. 2 days after that game, what did they do? Let me ask y'all. 2 days after that game.
Traded for Jalen Ramsey.
Exactly. So they're a different team now. So now they traded Jalen for this exact moment, for tomorrow night, to be able to shut down and lock down one side of the defense. And now they can throw man pressure, some different kind of zones to kind of throw off Jimmy G on the other side. So, you know, that's kind of what they brought him in for. So this is a different team. So don't make no mistake about it. They're coming in to try to knock you off and try to spoil Cinderella and not let you go to the playoffs, you know, being that one seed or have everything. They're going to send you to New Orleans or Dallas or Green Bay. They're going to send you to one of these cold weather or teams you don't want to play in the playoffs.
Ian, go ahead. No, I was just going to – Ian, I was going to ask you if – you know, we're hoping the Niners get that number one seed, but if somehow they end up in Dallas – I was telling the guys, it's not about talent to me with Dallas, it's coaching, but they shocked me beating the Rams. What kind of threat does Dallas pose to the Niners if they were to hook up wild card weekend?
Everything in NFL is about matchups. So obviously you have a team that is a great pass rushing team. Remember the Indianapolis Colts, anytime they will play a really rugged team.
Steelers, like Chargers.
Steelers, Baltimore, because they run the ball. Anything that is smaller, typically, they're good pass rushers because they're 270, 280, 290. Typically, good teams who run the ball, their offensive line are 330, 340, 350. See how that 40 or 50 pounds, that makes a difference when you're trying to run the ball and it's more of a rugged game. So, vice versa, without DJ Jones, now you have Sheldon Day in there. You have Solomon in there at 270, 280, a smaller guy. Now they're going up against Travis Frederick, you know, 330. Zach Martin, I played against him in college. He's 330, 320, 330.
Tyron Smith.
They're a really good offensive line, and they run the ball really well. So going having to go to Dallas, even though they struggled, you know, defensively and offensively, it's all about matchups. And this is why you have and you pay certain guys for the playoff times. You don't get paid for I had a great game in the second game of the season. No, you get paid for playoff experience. That's what you get paid for. So that's what they have over in Dallas, and that's what they have in Philly. You know, so these types of teams who like they're bigger, run the ball. You know, obviously that's what we struggled against lately, especially without DJ Jones, you know, having the teams like Baltimore and the Steelers and Washington being able to run the ball. That's what we struggle against, and that's what the Dallas Cowboys bring.
Hey, Ian, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it, and we'll see you down there tomorrow night.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. I'll see you tomorrow, Ian.
Tomorrow, man, hopefully we get another win, and we'll be talking some good tunes next week.
No doubt, sir. That's Ian Williams, courtesy of the Dial Pad guest line.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.